or certainly for all of us as well. We all tend to complain and murmur. That was the besetting sin of Israel throughout their history. And God is never pleased with our complaining and our murmuring. And sometimes when we have things that seem to us to be more than we can bear, we tend to say, that's not fair, God. And God has certainly not promised us that skies will always be blue and that we'll always have easy times, but God has been much more than fair to us. And certainly our prayer should be for mercy and not for fairness, not for what we think is fair, but for mercy from God. Because God is good. The Lord is good and doeth good. Let us always remember that. I want you to turn to your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 8. I want to spend just a few short minutes in Romans 8 tonight. I just want to share with you a few meditations that have been on my mind the last couple of days. The gospel is the good news. It's the good news of what Christ has done for us. The gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it's good news. And usually on a Wednesday evening after you've had a tough week, you need some good news. And I hope that the good news of the gospel tonight from Romans chapter 8 will be that for what you may need for your spiritual being. Romans 8 comes in a very interesting place in this book. It comes right after the very vivid, very personal diary of Paul, as he is almost in a frustrated way recounting his struggle with sin. You know that passage in Romans 7 where he talks about the things that I would do, I don't end up doing, and the things that I want to do, I don't do those, and things that I don't want to do, I end up doing those. I'm just so frustrated that he ends the chapter by saying, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Thankfully, the chapter does not end on such a low note, but it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So Paul doesn't end chapter 7 on a hopeless note, but he ends it with great hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. Now I want to read just a few verses from the first part of Romans chapter 8. This is very familiar to us, but it's been very meaningful to me in the last couple of days. Paul says, there is therefore, in chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I would that my mind and my knowledge were such to give a fit explanation and a fit exposition of this beautiful passage about what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. I just want to look at a few of these words in the first few verses of Romans 8. Where Paul says in the first part, there is therefore. That word, there is therefore, means because of what went in the verse preceding. Because of the victory that is found in Jesus Christ. There is therefore, even in light of the fact that he finds himself at times serving the law of sin, his mind serving the law of God, but his flesh serving the law of sin, even despite the struggles of his inner being, and despite the struggles to to do that which is pleasing to God, despite his inability to keep the law of God to his satisfaction or to God's requirements, despite that, in light of that, because of the victory that is found in Jesus Christ, there is therefore now, right now, legally, there is therefore now no condemnation. Now I said I hope this good news will be good soothing news for your soul tonight. That even now, that if you are in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. The word condemnation, of course, is the legal word where the judge pronounces one to be condemned or guilty or not guilty. To be condemned is to be separated. To be condemned means death. But even now, to those who are in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation. I told Brother Richard this afternoon to be set by Sister Ann's hospital bed. I said, Brother Richard, the best thing about all of this is that even now there is no condemnation to Sister Ann who is in Christ Jesus. That's the best news to anybody who is struggling with sin, that if the struggle with sin seems to overwhelm us at times, to know that there is therefore now no condemnation. It is that which allows us to get up off of our bed of frustration, to get up off of our realization of our inconsistency, our inability, and get up and live to fight another day, to live another day, to strive, to serve God in a better way, is the knowledge that there is even now no condemnation. That's a wonderful truth. A wonderful truth to know that there is no condemnation. This condemnation, or this fact that there is no condemnation, comes from the judge of all the world. The judge who sees all and knows all, and the judge that always does right. The judge that is always fair, as we just spoke to the little children, the judge that is always fair and always right and always good, that there is no condemnation to a certain group of people. And then, the last part of this verse gives two identifying marks of who these people are. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, number one. And number two, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Maybe you remember a few weeks ago when Brother Dan got up and read to us, I think it's Ephesians chapter 1. And he highlighted that phrase, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. The ones who today can say, yes, Lord, I have failed you over and over and over again. I have done less than that which is my duty to do. But I still can rise to praise your name. I still can rise with a great amount of hope in my soul because there is no condemnation legally, although there is still a presence of sin. And the presence of sin is very real, as Paul just recounted in chapter 7. There's a very real presence of sin, but there is legally no sin. When God looks upon me, he sees no sin because I am in Christ Jesus. This state of being in Christ Jesus, we'll see from Ephesians chapter 1, starts a long time ago. As Brother Dan read to us several weeks ago, in verse 4, this state of being in Christ Jesus starts before the foundation of the world. You see in verse 4 of Ephesians 1, it says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. This state of being in Christ Jesus, of being united with Christ. In fact, in Romans 7, it describes this union with Christ as being that of a marriage. That we are married to Him who is risen from the dead. We are married, we are linked, we are united with Him in an unbreakable bond. We are united with Jesus Christ. This union starts before the foundation of the world when God, by His own riches of His grace, by His own perfect design, by His own sovereign purpose, placed a people in Jesus Christ, forever linking them with, forever connecting them with, forever uniting them with Jesus Christ. And this union continues to the cross. Look in Romans chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. And 19. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. In other words, when there is condemnation, where there is condemnation, the condemnation comes through one man. It comes through a link, a bond, a union with one man. So condemnation comes through a link with Adam, the first Adam. Condemnation also comes through our own actions, through our own inabilities, through our own sins, through our own grievous errors. The condemnation comes, first of all, through our link with one man, with Adam. Just as the condemnation comes through Adam, even so the no condemnation comes through one. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. When Christ went to the cross, and the sins of those who are in Christ, those who are linked to Him, those who are married to Him, those who are connected to Him, those who were placed in Him by God the Father before time began, when Christ went to the cross and had the sins of all those people, not just the penalty for those sins, but had the actual sins of all of His people placed upon Him, imputed to His account, placed on His account, and when the wrath of God poured out upon Christ, and by that act, we were made the righteousness of God in Him, our union continues at the cross. And this union is made real to us. It's applied to us when God speaks life to us through His Spirit. In fact, it says in Ephesians 2 verse 1 that we are... Well, I should be able to quote that, shouldn't I? Ephesians 2 1. And you hath He quickened, or you hath He made alive. So this giving of life, this union with Christ is applied to us. This no condemnation is applied to us when God gives us life through Jesus Christ. And you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so we see that our condemnation comes, that our no condemnation comes about only through the act of one, that is Jesus Christ. And only through the union with one, that is Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation outside of Jesus Christ. There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. In fact, John 5 says this. Sometimes we mistake belief to give us this union. Belief to give us this life. Belief to give us this no condemnation. But John 5 says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but he is passed from death unto life. So belief does not give us life, but belief is to those who have, who already have everlasting life. Life, and those shall not come into condemnation. So back to Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, to them who are bound to Christ Jesus, to those who are married to Christ Jesus, to those who are linked, connected to, bound to Jesus Christ, to those who are represented by Him at the cross. And then the second identifying mark is the last phrase, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I like this fact that this is not a phrase of condition. This is a phrase of fact. That those who are, this is an identifying trait. For those who are under no condemnation, for those that have life, those that are bound to Christ, are those who don't walk after the Spirit, after the flesh, but they walk after the Spirit. You see, Paul, in his struggle, says, I was at once under the law. I was at once enslaved to the law. I was at once enslaved to sin. But now, there's a new Spirit working within me. Let's read verse 2. Listen to this. I love this verse 2. For the law, and that word law means an inward principle of action. There's a new principle within me, he says. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Paul says, yes, I do have a struggle. and I struggle with sin. But there was a time, he said, when there was a strong man within me who overtook me, who had reign over me, who had dominion over me. That is no longer the case, because there is a new inward principle of action working within me. And this new inward principle is stronger than that which formerly worked within me. Now I have the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You see, the life that God gives us through Jesus Christ, when He quickens us and brings us to life, is an overpowering, it's more powerful, it's greater than is He that is in you than He that is in the world. And so the good news tonight to those who are struggling with sin, or those who, like myself yesterday, I thought, I can do nothing right. Maybe I should just give up. And then I read this, he said, you know what? I'm not condemned in Christ Jesus. But also, there's a principle of action inside of me. There's a Spirit of life inside of me that is stronger than that which formerly had reign over me. So therefore, I can rise up off my bed. And therefore, I can repent. And therefore, I can go to the throne of grace and plead mercy and plead grace. Lord, I'm in a time of need. I need Your grace. I need Your mercy. And I can do that because there's a Spirit of life within me which is stronger than, which has made me free from the law of sin and death. Listen to what this new Spirit can do. Listen to verse 3. For what the law could not do, there was a weakness in the law. The law itself was good. The law itself was right. God gave the law. But the weakness of the law was what? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The law was weak, not because of what the law was, not because of what the law said, not because of what the law demanded, but the weakness of the law was the flesh which had to keep the law. But guess what? There's a new principle working within me, the Spirit of life over the Spirit of flesh. For the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. God sending His own Son. God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was flesh, but He could not sin. He had all of humanity, but He could not sin. He sent Him in the likeness of flesh, and for sin. God sent His Son to do something about this sin that overcomes us. God sent His Son to do something about this sin that overwhelms people, that brings them into bondage, that brings them into slavery. God sent His Son to take away the power of sin in the lives of all of His people. Isn't that good? God came to do something about this sin. Not only did He send Christ to atone for our sins, but He sent His Son to do something about sin in us right now. God sending His own Son in the likeness of the flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Again, here's that divine trait, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, my friends, we may struggle, and we will struggle. We may have times where we fall, and we will fall. But God will say to you, God will say to us here, that because He has sent His Son for sin, because He has sent His Son to atone for sin, because He has sent His Son to give you the Spirit of life, which is greater than the Spirit of the flesh, but greater than the Spirit that formerly reigned within you, that therefore you will walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But you know what? This walking of the Spirit and not the flesh is not a robotic thing. And in the same chapter He will say, listen, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He would exhort us to walk not for the flesh, but after the Spirit. He would exhort us to put away the carnal and put on the Spirit. He would exhort us to cling close to Jesus Christ. He would say, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In one phrase He would say, that ye are, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the next phrase He would exhort us to not walk
after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thank God for one who could devise a plan in His Son, Jesus Christ, to provide the truth, the fact, the legal fact of no condemnation, and then to provide the Spirit of life, the power to overcome our flesh in this world. I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe you've experienced good fellowship with Christ this week, and maybe you've experienced some doldrums. Maybe you've experienced some struggles and some doubts and some fears and some times of failure. I would encourage you to look to the One who has given us the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law was weak through the flesh, but praise God, we're not just flesh anymore. We also have the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that dwells within us. Christ in us, and we in Christ. May God bless these thoughts to your spiritual nourishment in the days to come.